When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh my goodness, it's July. It's time for a new episode of The New Guys, which is the podcast that you're currently listening to. And I am one of the hosts of, and my name's River Butcher. I do stand up and I'm a writer and an actor and a host of this here podcast. Joining me, as always, is Gabe Dunn, the other host of this podcast. How's it going, Gabe?
Hello, it's me, Gabe Dunn, the other host of this podcast. Sorry, I'm trying to purposefully speak in my register. And not try to like push it anymore.
Up or down?
My voice is like resting lower, but I'm not used to it. So I still try to put on my little customer service voice.
Yes. You've gotten there. How long have you been on TE, Gabe?
A year and a half, maybe. More.
Oh, yeah.
Is it more?
Oh, I remember.
I posted a video of myself crying, so if I went back and looked at that, I could figure out what day it was.
Look for the tears on Instagram. Well, I just asked because I think it's probably my 4-year anniversary around now.
Oh my goodness.
In July. Yeah. And I mean, the first year was low dose and then like continuing to gradually go up. So realistically, it's more like 3 years on a full dose of tea.
Yeah.
But I remember that when I remember feeling my voice changing in very deep, specific ways, you know, just even sitting in my body in a different way.
Yeah.
And then noticing like, when I wanted something, like in public, like, excuse me, like how much I was like throwing my voice. I was like, wow, I had no idea. Cause you know, we've talked about, I am a trans guy that has always been masculine.
Yeah.
So I had no idea I was doing those things. They're just so ingrained in there.
Yeah. You know? It's, we're all doing it.
I mean, as cis men do it, you know what I mean? Like everybody kind of does it. Like I'm not saying as a group, they all do it. Like obviously not as much, but like everybody does some of this stuff, you know?
They don't have to be as pleasant though. Like if someone comes to like fix my dishwasher, I don't feel like I have to perform the whole like cutesy whatever. I feel like I was just like, it's over there. Here you go.
You mean now?
Now it would be kind of bizarre for me to go through my whole, I mean, offer a glass of water or whatever, but I'm not gonna like go through my whole like, I'm just a girl, don't kill me kind of situation.
Well, I mean, it's bizarre that we all have to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. Like at all, you know.
So I'm getting sir in public, but on the phone, if I don't let my voice just be where it is, it's ma'am immediately.
Huh.
So that's a head
interesting
fuck. Yeah.
It'll change. I mean, your voice is going to drop continuously. Like I'm trying to think. It hasn't. I think this is my voice now.
Yeah.
You know, other than like just aging and like your voice changes as you age and stuff. But yeah. Maybe it'll change a little bit more because I caught an Instagram video of a trans guy who was probably in his like 60s.
Mm-hmm.
His voice was so low. And I was like, wow, I wonder, it probably just keeps changing. Probably keeps continuing to change a little bit. Like,
yeah,
who knows if it's like chemical, physical, nurture, nature, all the stuff, you know.
You get gravelly and distinguished.
That's right. Just constantly gravelly and distinguished. This episode is a listener mail episode. It's a Just Us Guys episode. So no guest today.
Mm-hmm.
The guest is us.
And the guest is you.
And the guest is you. That's right. It's an interactive episode.
So we have a lot of emails from you guys, which is awesome.
We do. And we have like a lot of time. So I just wanted to. So the voice thing. What, anything else going on for you, Gabe?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm trying to decide what I like doing in my life. And like and like looking at changing what I do day to day. Not that I don't want to be like, I'm quitting the industry, because I'm not. I'm like still doing my movie and stuff, but I'm also not interested in a lot currently in a lot of the stuff that is required in order to like work in mainstream entertainment. I'm just not interested in it.
Like what kind of stuff?
Just, I don't know. Just like working for someone else doesn't really sound fun creatively. Working for someone else creatively doesn't really sound fun. But I'm dealing with like if that makes, because if you've been doing something for 10 years and then you're not interested in it anymore and you want to do something else, that's not like a failure. It's just that I don't find it interesting.
Well, no, people do that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, do you want to like be a dental hygienist, or you just want to do different things within your own creativity?
Yeah. I want to keep doing like the movies, creative stuff like that. But I'm also like, yeah, I'm interested in like other jobs, other professions. Like what does it take to do this? Figuring out other ways to like, make money that are satisfying to me, that don't have to be like long-term identities. Like I'm learning, like everything
turns out
is,
none of them have to be actually.
Well, I know, but okay. But think about like the reason it feels like or failure, or it feels like, even though I literally just don't really like it anymore, is because you're like identify a certain way. You know, everybody that you talk to, they say, hey, what's your name? Where do you live? What do you do? Uh-huh. And so then it's like when you say what do you do, it's like a defining characteristic. What do you do?
Only if you let it.
Yeah.
I saw you rolling your eyes at me.
I know. Well, I did
roll my
eyes. I'm
going the same thing. No, it's okay. I don't care. We're friends. I'm going through the same thing. I'm saying this stuff because I'm going through the same thing.
Yeah.
Because like, look, this is I actually have to detach from the identity of like whatever job I'm doing at the moment.
Yep.
Because it actually isn't my identity.
Right.
Because if it is, then what am I?
Right.
You know? And so like the jobs that I, the occupations that I have had and currently have right now, at 41 years old is a dog walker. And I'm currently waiting tables. And then I occasionally do stand-up comedy.
Right. And that's
and if those are my identity, then like, uh-oh, you know what I mean?
But that's what life is. Like I feel like there's so much of, oh, what are you going to be when you grow up? Like all these things. And I'm like, and I'm like, now I'm like, you just got to like get through the day and like have fun. Like you just got to like make money to do things and like have fun. And like, it doesn't, I feel like maybe this is not correct. And maybe it's a hankering of depression, but like, it doesn't matter. Like just like make a little money, do some little fun things sometimes. Like, I don't know. I
Well, yeah, simplicity is not a bad thing. And also, if you can get into the fact that the job that you're doing, whatever it is to like be of service.
Yeah,
to
be a good person.
The people. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean good person. But
yeah, but yeah.
Being of service is very different than being a good person.
Okay, fine, because, yeah.
Just because like I do the same thing, I'm like, oh, I can be a good person. And that's my idea of what I think that is, which is not service.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I can have an idea of what it could be, but I have to remain open, because like if I'm like, oh, I'm going to be of service, I'm probably acting from my ego and trying to show off and show people how good I am.
Right.
Sure. As opposed to, oh, I need to drop what I'm doing and go pick up the dishes off this table right now. Which is not like, is that being a good person? You know,
you're
what I,
right.
like I don't
it's
know
just
that
being. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like my ego would be like, well, that's not being a good person. You know.
But oh, I see what you're saying.
But
yeah.
It's not that it isn't. It's just that it's not what I would think it is going into it, and I have to be like open to it in every moment, as opposed to like just a rubber stamp blanket idea of what service is. You know.
I like the fans that I have. I love them. I like the people that I already talk to and reach and stuff. I don't feel particularly guided to find new people. I like having this little like inside joke, inside group that have kind of been with me for a while. And I love and appreciate all of them. And then I just like, what do I like to do day to day? And if I'm like, if getting an email about an audition makes me feel nauseous, then why do I feel like I have to do it? I don't. Do something else. No. But I have this thing of like, oh my God, every opportunity, I just have to take it, which I think comes from like growing up not having money, where I'm just like, well, everything that happens, you have to take it or you're ungrateful. And now I'm like, nah.
I don't think that. I mean, I have the same thing.
Yeah, I know.
And I've recently like, I'm just like, I'm not going to do auditions that don't
make you excited.
Like I have that same feeling, and I have to push past it and read the email.
Yeah.
You know, I have to be of service to the person that's sending it to me.
Yeah.
By
okay.
doing the very simple work of reading it,
sure.
reading the email.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But yeah. also like if auditioning as a whole stresses you out so much, then just be like, I don't want to audition for a month. You know what I mean? Like it's not a requirement. you know, it just isn't a requirement. And then like I read it and I go, you know, I don't resonate with this at all.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and that's okay to let.
And then sometimes
go.
I do it because I'm like, look, I just got to do it.
Yeah.
And I want to detach from doing it and I just do it.
Yeah.
And not have any, because I will say one thing that helped me with auditions, and I'm not trying to convince you to do them. I think don't do them if you don't want to do them. Because the audition is the job.
Mm-hmm.
The job is not the part.
Yeah.
The audition is the job.
Yeah, exactly.
And once I started showing up for the job, which is the audition,
mm-hmm.
it made things a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, oh, I would be like skyrocketing into the part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everything that comes with that, which is part of, I think, what you're saying, which is like, oh, I'm ungrateful. But it's like, you don't have the job. The only job you have is the audition.
Right.
And if you don't want to do that job, then don't do that job, you know?
Yeah. I think it's also like, I don't want to seem ungrateful for what I've built, but I also want to just keep nurturing what I've built, and I don't need mm-hmm. more than that, really.
Well, yeah.
And I just want to explore other stuff that I'm interested in and be kind of a well-rounded person, even. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, I just am learning. Like, I'm learning how to ump for a kickball. Like, I'm doing the ump training.
Uh-huh.
And I want to do like a CPR first aid class where I could learn like, mm-hmm. at least if there's an emergency, I'm like useful in some way. I can mm-hmm. like be like,
yeah.
learn how to use the AED or whatever. And, you know, I don't know. There's like, I'm like, oh my God, I've just been like working and not really picking up skills.
Sure. Well, just other skills.
Other skills.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's where I feel like I am.
I think that's great, dude. I remember you like posted about the CPR thing.
Yeah, I want to learn CPR. I'm going to go on Wednesday.
Where did you end up? Well, we'll talk about that later.
We'll see if I like it even. I'll recommend it once I know it was good.
Yeah, I'm like starting to like, because I was like, maybe I'll be a personal trainer, you know?
Yeah.
And then I looked into the cost of it and I was like, oh, I don't want to spend, you know? And so then I was like, maybe not, you know, just didn't feel like the right thing to spend, you know, $1,000 to $1,200 right away for that, you know? So
yeah.
I was like, okay. And then I start, because I can't afford the gym that I love that I was going to,
mm-hmm.
I've started going to this other gym. And of course, I'm running into people that I know.
Oh.
And I'm like, look, I am very interested in personal training. I love to coach. If you would like to work out together and I can give you like tips and things like that, and we can talk about form and stuff. I won't be like a personal trainer, but I can help and I can practice. I would love to do it. And I've already got like two people.
Nice.
So that's the thing, is like, it doesn't actually, it's like, I always want to start from the top, you know? And it's like, oh, I need to actually start from where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, and what's possible.
I love that.
You know, so I think that's great. And I think, you know, starting from what you like you said, it's like, oh, what do I like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've just been flinging myself through this thing and trying to do it. And I mean, for me, I really love being on set, and I really love being in a room with people. Like I love that job, and like hundreds of thousands of other people love mm-hmm. that job, you know? So it's not necessarily it's not a matter of I'm not doing enough. You know what I mean?
No.
But I'm not doing enough to nurture myself mm-hmm. and my creativity outside of having that particular job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I have to, and I don't like it. I do not, I just want to work and make money and die or whatever, it, which is like, I don't actually like my, that's not what my spirit wants.
Yeah. But
that's what
yeah.
like, you know, the, my diseased brain wants me to do is just like, no, just like, just die or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a practice every day of being like, what do I like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do I like to do? You know, and the more,
and you
slowly
can take breaks. It can change. Yeah. You could come back.
I don't have to do it all that yes. day one, but I think I do. You know, it's like,
same.
Well, I like to paint. And then my head's like, yeah, so now you got to go to the art supply store and get an easel. And get
yes.
this, blah, 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 blah. It's like,
same.
No, I could just pick up a pen and a piece of
same.
Paper and just like doodle for 10 minutes, you know?
Wow.
And then my brain's like, not that.
Incredible.
And speaking of, you know, passions and careers and everything, I do have some dates coming up. I'm going to be doing stand-up on August 14th in Columbus, Ohio for their comedy festival. I'll be in Burlington, Vermont, August 29th through the 31st at the Vermont Comedy Club. And then I'll be in Charleston, for South Carolina, on the 19th of September for like a queer comedy fest, which is awesome. And then I'll be opening for my dear friend Mateo Lane, September 27th and 28th in Cincinnati and Cleveland, respectively. So all those dates will be on my website eventually. If they're not there yet, it's just because I don't have the links. But thanks for the support. Come on out and see me.
I love that.
Cool. Well, should we take a break and then come back and do our listener mails? What do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, we'll be back right after this. Holly is a trans-licensed massage therapist based in Brooklyn, New York.
Their practice, True Bearing Bodywork, helps folks feel more at ease through discomfort or change.
This includes trans folks, prenatal clients, and folks with chronic pain.
They specialize in post-gender-affirming surgery recovery with a focus on scar massage and lymphatic drainage.
They can work on your binding pain, your six-week-old top surgery scars, or just general relaxation from a massage therapist who is trans and affirming.
Feel more at home in your body so you can move, rest, and grow as your truest self.
You can book at truebearingbodywork.com or learn more on Instagram at truebearingbodywork.
Thank you. Bye.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh my God, thanks for sticking around. If you fast forwarded, that's great. If you didn't and you listened to the ads, we also really appreciate it because we're very grateful to our advertisers for advertising with us so we can keep making this show. Because it does have costs attached to it, and we don't make any money off of this show.
Nope.
We do it because we like to do it. So we appreciate your help.
I put ads back on, but I took us out of, like, I would say everything except for like three categories. So the ads better be just like the most innocuous ads you've ever heard, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Maybe it's like Sticker Mule advertising new Trump t-shirt.
Oh, I got that email as well. Everyone got that email.
I don't know if I
didn't
get it. It's just funny.
Okay. Well, this is a message from Willoughby. Dear Gabe and River, I love your podcast. I can't tell you how long I looked for some source of communication about things beyond just the very superficial and performative parts of transition and identity, which are important too, but still. To find people talking about how they feel, how they see themselves in the world, how they are finding their feet within the greater movement for collective liberation, and so much more. Before this podcast, I feel like all that was available to me was cutesy Instagram posts with one-dimensional slogans like trans men are men and other trans masks rants on Twitter. Dead name Musk site forever is what they said. Being like, actually, we are experiencing oppression too, if anyone ever listens. In all honesty, sometimes I cry with joy, but I am a Cancer sun sign, so crying is a part-time job.
Makes sense.
I have a quick word on my experience of finding community. I joined an LGBTQIA plus choir here in Cardiff. This is Wales. You have to sing or play rugby. There's no freaking way I'm playing rugby. It's been a transformative experience, and now I have the life-affirming joy of singing Britney Spears in three-part harmony every week, and also I have a flourishing, supportive queer community. Also, there are other trans men and trans women in the choir, and we are navigating singing with our changing voices alongside each other. It's very wholesome. So if there are people out there who are looking to find community in their life but don't fancy sports, I recommend giving a community choir a go. Even if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, honestly, with 40 people all singing, nobody's going to know if you're lip-syncing. There are community choirs that don't compete, don't have auditions, and just meet to be gay and sing silly songs. 11 out of 10 stars, would recommend. I also was hoping for some advice. Me and my other gay, bi, and trans guys have recently started a peer support group. We get together every 6 weeks or so and talk about issues relating to queerness, masculinity, and our mental health and other stuff. We haven't decided on a name yet. We're hovering between Sad Man Club and Lads, 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 all exclamation points. For a lot of us, it's our first experience of having other men that we are able to talk to about what's really going on inside us. At the moment, I think we're all learning just how to trust each other and be vulnerable. I'm wondering if you have any advice on our journey. Finally, I just want to say thank you for creating this Deloach Unvower. I assume this is Welsh. The ch is a soft guttural k, like the ch at the end of Bach. Deloach Unvower, Willoughby. And I'm so sorry. I believe that is Welsh, and I've butchered it.
Hey, easy with the butchered there.
A pun.
So I think you should go with Lads, Lads, Lads instead of Sad Men Club. Just that's my personal.
That was extremely funny.
So yeah, love the choir thing. Forgot to mention up top that I am doing something I don't want to do, but I also have excitement about it, which is I'm doing voice lessons for singing. I don't know how much I'm going to do it. But I'm just like willing to do it and go potentially be terrified. So I'm doing that. So I hear you. I see you. I love that. People should check that out. Gabe, maybe you should go be in a choir. I don't know.
That's thrilling. I do want to say that I did meet some people who are trans and in a choir, and they did describe it as cult-like, and there seems to have been a lot of inter-choir drama. So if you're down for that kind of fun, sexy inter-choir drama, that's what it sounded like to me when they described it.
Yeah. Well, there's always some fun and sexy inter-whatever.
Drama.
Yeah. And as for the, I don't know, just the group that you guys are starting, I think that's great. And just be really gentle and go really slow, you know? And then the only other thing I would say is like, I don't like to give advice, but the only suggestion I would make is that you don't talk about what other people have said outside of that space.
Yeah. You've said that about this show.
Yeah, have I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that, like, I mean, I think, you know, if you're in this group and then you want to then like have a connection with somebody interpersonally and continue to talk to them about something, that's what you said and then they agree to that. That's very different, but like basically gossip, you know, and like, but truly, like, even just saying anything about what anyone else said who is not present while you're talking, don't do that. Because it's the fastest way for what you build, any sort of vulnerability, to go away, you know? And it's just deadly to a group dynamic, and it's really hard to practice. But I know somebody that's like in a, they're in an acting class, right? Just an acting class, that they're not allowed to compliment each other.
Oh, interesting.
And they're not allowed, well, allowed, but like it's
discouraged.
It's deeply suggested and discouraged that you do not compliment each other and you do not talk about the class outside of the context of the class.
Oh, I love that.
Other than I'm in an acting class. You know what I mean?
I like, love that.
And it's from this time to this time. And it's like, it's very disciplined, but it's like a practice of, and I know this is all like, don't talk about Fight Club, but that's where Fight Club got it from. It's like all this stuff is that like, it's actually not a secret. It's actually like respecting people's privacy mm-hmm. and building confidence, you know, and not everybody can hang, you know, and then when it happens, you get to discuss it as a group.
I think it's good because you don't feel like if you take a risk, somebody's going to be telling people about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's like AA. You're not supposed to talk about the stuff that was talked about in AA. And I thought that you meant that when I said that it was like this show, I thought that you meant don't get hung up on just the negative stuff that other people are saying about trans guys.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
don't
okay.
Just, that's don't make mean. It just like when you said like sad man club, I know you're joking, but like, don't make it like,
oh yeah. Yeah. That part. Yes. Yeah. 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 And like, yeah, I know you guys are joking and I'm not, but it's like, and I find I'm more free to talk about things in my sadness when I'm honest about mm. it. And it's not like, I don't know, like ironic detachment or something for me. And I need that sometimes to get as close as I can or whatever. But that's my, that I would just go for lads, 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 because then that's really neutral. Mm-hmm. It's just a really neutral thing, you know, of like, we're just some dudes talking to each other, you know?
Yeah. Can I read one Kofi message? That was very funny.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So this person said, they're talking about a threat or something, but they said, River would be a devastatingly good villain. Like, if they ever decided to do live action Frozen, let him be Hans. This is my headcanon.
Okay. Hans is a villain? I thought he was like...
No, he's... Well, it's a spoiler. If you haven't seen Frozen, Hans being the villain is a spoiler.
I've seen Frozen and I still am like...
No,
confused.
No. The nice guy is named Christoph.
Oh, okay.
And
got
the,
you.
The,
okay.
The evil guy is named Hans.
Got you. Spoiler yeah. alert for Frozen that came out 20 years ago.
Spoiler alert for Frozen. Well, now that I'm looking at it, I could see you doing live action Hans. It is giving. Okay. It is giving live action Hans. You would have to have mutton chops, though.
Hey, I kind of do. I've been thinking about switching it up with the facial hair, anyways.
Directly to mutton chops.
Mostly just shaving this part. You know, and accentuating simply the mustache as opposed to the connection.
Yes, mustache, we'll mustache.
I don't want to get rid of my beard, though. I haven't seen my chin in like 2 years, which is great.
Yeah, your beard is luxurious, and so you
Thank
shouldn't
you.
Get rid of it.
I just dyed it, so it looks Ooh. Good. All right, should I? I'm going to read this. All right.
Yeah, read yours.
So this one is from Theo. Starts out, hi Gabe and River. First of all, thank you so much for the work you do. You're welcome. Every new episode of the podcast is a chance to find comfort within this amazing network of guys who understand what I'm going through, as well as learn something new about our world. Kind words, Theo. Thank you so much. Your episode with Ben Green came at the perfect time for me. My immediate family has been great in their allyship, but I'm largely estranged from my extended family. This was most disappointing in the case of my favorite aunt from growing up, who I found out just last week avoided visiting my mom's house this past Christmas because of me. I had thought she would be the most open-minded of my aunts and uncles, but I guess not. She insists, at least, it's my problem, not his. She genders me correctly, but deep down, she's having trouble facing me and accepting me. Her travels may soon take her to the city where I live, and she's told my mom she's tentatively interested in meeting up with me one-on-one while she's here. This is where the new guys comes back in. This past week, I've been too grief-stricken and angry to know what I wanted to do about my aunt's potential visit. I didn't know if I wanted to meet with her or not, or what I'd say if I did, but your conversation with Ben changed that. All three of you seemed so confident and empathetic and willing to help others learn from and understand us. I feel inspired to do the same. All three of you have helped me figure out what I can say to her and what questions I can ask to figure out where her discomfort is coming from. The ant I know is a curious and open-minded world traveler, the cool ant who goes on adventures and loves to meet new people. This recent behavior isn't typical for her. If there's one person I can see myself helping, it's her. If my efforts are unsuccessful, that's her loss, and maybe she'll come around someday. I'm happy with the person I am either way. Regardless of how this meeting goes, or if it even happens at all, I wanted to give you my thanks. Once again, you've helped to open my eyes and heal my heart. Best regards, Theo, he, and they.
Wow.
So that's
this
cool.
This is so nice.
Yeah, wonderful. This I mean, really major nice. Props to Ben, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ben did a lot of the work on that one. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's the what I was going to say as I was reading this, like when the aunt says it's her problem, not his, like, I mean, take her at her word, mm-hmm. you know, and it sounds like you kind of are. And, you know, just letting go of outcome as best you can and letting go of expectations, mm-hmm. you know, and like, you get to have, at least this has been my experience, I get to have a continuous conversation with myself.
Right.
And my spirituality about can I handle someone else's confusion, whatever, misgendering, whatever it's going to be, issue, is it worth it to me mm-hmm. to keep this person in my life? And the answer is like always changing, mm-hmm. but it's not like a set it and forget it thing, you know? And I also just want to say, like, I don't always have to teach people, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, that's not the agreement, or like the trade that I've made to become a trans person. You know right. what I mean? And sometimes like teaching people is being like, okay, I got to go, you know, and I get to take care of myself and I get to treat people with like kindness and respect, but it also means I have to give them the dignity of their own experience. And like, if they don't want to hang out with me, if they can't handle that, like, so be it, you know, yeah. and do my best to get out of judgment. I'm not saying I don't judge, but like, to get out of it and keep turning it over because it just isn't up to me. And it sounds like this person is struggling with something that maybe you don't understand. Cause I don't really, you know, it's like everything on paper is like, she should be able to roll with this.
Right.
And it sounds like she is to a certain extent, you yeah. know, and then whatever it is, either she gets to find out, you get to find out to get whatever, like who knows, you know, but like, sometimes we just have to let people go on their own thing. Like, I mean, we have to let everybody go, ultimately. If you love something, set it free. And if it, you know, if it's meant to be, it'll come back. Sting. So, like, yeah, I mean, but it sounds like you're very grounded, you know, and, like, you just get to keep turning over these things, these expectations and, like, you know, attachments. And I don't even realize I'm putting demands on people, you know? Mm. Like, I don't even realize I am, so I have to be so slow and so willing to be like, oh, am I desiring a particular outcome from this? Am I like demanding that something be a certain way? You know, because that's how I get into trouble.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is a protectiveness to shutting people off who aren't immediately on board, but mm-hmm. it doesn't, I understand where that comes from people, but I think it is a case-by-case basis, and I think it wouldn't sit well on your soul to just drop her. You know what I mean? Like, I feel mm-hmm. like it hurts, and it is a rejection, but part of being human is hurting each other. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, even if you don't want to, even if you don't mean to, even if you love each other, you have good intentions, you think of yourself a certain way, whatever it is, people hurt each other. And it's okay to say to her, you know, this hurts me, but you do have to sort of get, if she's a curious person, you can hope that you can both get curious about what the situation actually is.
Yeah. And I mean, I would offer that here's the thing about rejection. It's a judgment. It's like not an actual thing. And that aunt is saying like, this is not him. It's me.
Right.
You know, like she's being very honest, mm-hmm. you know, like somebody that's like a bigot or whatever is not going to say stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's allowing people the dignity of their own experience and realizing it actually has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't. Like, I'm actually not being rejected. I feel like I'm being rejected. And that actually isn't a feeling I've learned, which it's a judgment because it requires another person. I feel sad because this relationship isn't what I'd like it to be. And that's my answer, which is, oh, I want it to be different than it is. And
that's
so I
action.
Have to get into acceptance that it is how it is. And is this, you know, is it a deal breaker for me or not? And it sounds to me, for Theo, it's not like a deal breaker, you know. And this is the stuff is that, yeah. And like you said, we will hurt each other, you know. That's part of being human. Mm-hmm. And like a willingness to apologize and do things differently is like kind of the only thing we can do. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually think it's asking for more flexibility of us as trans people to just be willing to like pause and be like, oh, I don't have to run towards this. And I don't, like you said, I don't actually have to cut anybody out. Like, there's actually nothing to do in this moment except like let it go.
Yeah.
You know, because like I'm getting tangled up.
Yeah. Live in the like reality of what's happening and not being like, well, I should do this. Like, should I do this?
Yeah.
What?
No, it's not
freaking
yeah.
out, like being like, well, what if this happens? What if this happens? Like, nothing's currently happening. You just have
to. Because like, I'm going to take a risk here and say something, which is like, I know trans people, and this has not been difficult to me because none of them were like my family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do have a friend that I've known since we were 10. And it like took me a second to like catch up in my own experience. I didn't have to express that to her because I'm trans. So
right.
I know I don't need to express, you know, or whatever. And like, it's also okay that this person is too. Like, they're fumbling towards trying to understand what's going on for themselves, you know? And perhaps they're keeping themselves from you to try to not hurt you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they, and so I just don't know. And there's, when it's somebody that's known you for a long time, there is like, I don't want to say it's not grieving, but it's like something changes.
Yeah.
And so I just honor that that is true, like simply true. And I don't know what it's like for somebody else. And I'm not always the appropriate person to hear about it.
Right. Right.
You know? And so do I want to put myself in a position of having to hear stuff I really kind of don't want to hear?
Right.
You know? It's like, no, I don't, you know? So it's also like, you know, my own care and protection to honor that something might, for a moment, temporarily, be difficult for somebody else.
Yeah.
It's actually like protective of my own self and my own spirit and my own transness to not put myself in that place when they're disruptive. And it might even be preventing them of finding the support that they need to then be like, hey, here I am now. Like, tell me more or whatever.
And if it bothers you, I think you could tell your mom that it's between you and your aunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call, Gabe. Actually, I don't want to hear any more of this.
Right.
For now.
Right.
I might change my mind.
Right.
You know? Because this is like, speaking of what we were just talking about, it's like, it's not necessarily gossip, but it's kind of like, yeah.
Exactly.
This information is not helpful to me.
Right. Let her tell me.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's River Butcher. I do stand up, and I'm going to be doing stand up in Columbus, Ohio on the 14th of August. And then I'll be in Burlington, Vermont, the 29th through the 31st. Of August at the comedy club there. That'll be a lot of fun. And then I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina on the 19th doing stand up. And then I'll be opening for my friend Mateo Lane the 27th and the 28th of September. And that will be Cincinnati and then Cleveland. So come on out. All the tickets hopefully are up at my website. If they're not there yet, they'll be there soon, which is riverbutcher.com/shows. See you out there.
You want to read the next one?
Yes. Okay, so this one is from Gray. Hi, Gabe and River. My name is Gray. Pronouns are he and him. Firstly, I have a small chest, but it's just big enough to where it's noticeable. I don't know how the sizes work or what size I need. I pass well enough to where I use the men's room in public, but my chest is an issue, I'm assuming for them, for him, excuse me. Amazon, like always, is unhelpful. If you guys could give me some pointers, that would be great.
I used the GCB2 binders. Yep. And I would, my advice would be to get it a little bigger than you think you might need it, because the first, I got like a small and I got trapped in it. I couldn't get it down over my shoulders. Oh, and then I was stuck with my arms up and it was harrowing.
They're very tight items of clothing.
They're tight. So I would get, my advice is get a size bigger than you think you need.
Yeah. I mean, here's what I say. Is it G2CB? Is that what it is?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I also used. If you don't know how to measure yourself, I mean, it's very detailed on their website. Go to their website and find all the measurements that you need to take. Go to Joann's, buy yourself a tape measure specifically for, or some other, you know, hobby fabric store or whatever. Yeah. Because as a trans guy, you will need that more than just for the binder. Like, you need to... We all need to learn how to measure ourselves for clothing, and for all kinds of things. Like, it's just good.
What's
it's
your
just
inseam?
A good
what's your
tool
pants?
To have on hand? Exactly. And so let this be the first step in learning how to measure your clothing and your own body, you know? And so then measure that. And if you don't have time or whatever, you can take a piece of paper, a long piece of paper or a string, and you can wrap that around the spaces that they suggest. And then, you know, hold your finger on the string. And then if you have a flat ruler, you can just lay it out on that and measure how long that is. But I really do suggest getting a tape measure that's made for like a loose tape measure, not a tape measure like a one for construction, because that won't work. And I'm being very specific because you never know. You just really don't.
Yeah.
And follow the directions for how long you wear it. Don't damage your tissue.
And don't wear an ace bandage.
Yeah.
Okay. I wore the binder a lot. I actually sometimes wore it as a shirt. Because I didn't like feeling like I was wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah. Also, I suggest if you can afford it to buy at least two, but definitely three if you can, so that you don't do that again, because they need to be like rinsed and they get dirty really fast.
Okay. This is an email from Oliver. Hi there. Hey, guy. I think they meant to write guys, but I love that it says, hey, guy. This is coming from Oliver, he, they, or he, him. I'm a trans mask teen who loves a lot of silly things and am in a ton of fandoms. I've been out for a couple months now, and this podcast has made me feel so comfortable knowing I'm not alone. Even though you guys are much older than me, I feel like I can relate to a lot of what you're saying and what you felt in the past or even now. Okay, was much necessary?
Much was not.
I'm just really kidding,
that.
Oliver, just kidding.
Geriatric millennials.
Even though you guys are basically one foot in the grave. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Like I said before, I'm in a ton of fandoms, which is so fun, and I love it. Many of the fandoms I'm in have many queer people and would accept everyone no matter what. I'm in one of the most LGBTQ-friendly fandoms, but won't say because if you don't understand what the fandom is, it's hard to explain. I also have a TikTok account where I share my cosplays and queerness, and I feel like it has helped a lot with me finding out who I am. River, I think you're so cool and you are what I wish I was. You're so kind and chill, and I feel like everyone wants to be friends with you. Fun fact, someone from my favorite band, Weezer, is also named Rivers. I'm obsessed with this. Okay. Gabe, you're so fun and funny without trying. You're so energetic and I'm here for it and love it. I honestly wish we could be best friends. You're just so cool. Keep being awesome, Oliver. Oliver, I'm obsessed with you.
Very good at compliments, Oliver.
Really good at compliments. I love the being like, it's you wouldn't understand the fandom. Like, don't, like, you guys are old. You're not going to get it.
Parents just don't understand.
Truly. And I also really enjoy that we might not know Weezer.
Yes.
Obsessed.
Oliver listened to Weezer when I was like 12.
Oh, I bought a Weezer album. Yeah.
The Blue album came out in 1994 and I was 12 years old. So
I bought it before I was going on a trip to London and I needed stuff to listen to in my Discman on the plane.
Yeah, mine was a boombox. Was there a question or they were just complimenting
us?
No,
it was just being sweet.
Oh, okay. That's great. I love it.
That was one of my favorite emails ever, Oliver. Thank you.
That's a good email. Hey, River and Gabe. My name is Han. and I use they, them pronouns. I have really resonated with y'all's conversations about Florida and the red state, blue state fallacy in general. I've lived in the South for my entire life, and I currently live in Little Rock, Arkansas. What up, Arkansas? Woo. I own a business with two other queers, and we sell screen-printed tees and lots of other art, and a lot of it is queer-themed. Cool. We pop up at markets and events, and we're recently set up for a festival that was happening the weekend of the total solar eclipse. Cool. We had lots of tourists from all over the country, with many from bigger cities in, quote, blue states, L.A., New York, Denver, etc. So crazy that Denver is a blue
state.
I don't know that it is, actually. So many of the tourists that stopped by our booth told us they were surprised with how much they were enjoying Little Rock and that they had been nervous about coming here. Many talked about how they were surprised by how many queers they were seeing, or that they were surprised to see lots of queer artists selling their work. While it was gratifying to show off my community and the state that I love to big city folk, LOL, I found myself getting so frustrated anytime people said something to this effect. It felt like erasure. It is disappointing the extent to which people in liberal bubbles don't actually try to acknowledge or understand the existence of the huge amounts of queer people that live in red states or more rural areas. They are falling for the exact same misperception that the right-wing politicians and the media bigots are spreading, that queer and trans people in, quote, red states are some kind of strange anomaly. When, in fact, my queer community is amazingly strong and diverse and widespread. We fight hard in the face of a lot of hate, but I think we also have a much more nuanced understanding of the ignorance queer people are up against and the everyday interpersonal interactions and relationships that constitute slow but substantial progress towards justice. We are rarely given the privilege of complacency toward our identities or our politics, and I think our communities are that much stronger for it. Too long, didn't read. If you live in a big city or a more progressive area, maybe try getting outside of your liberal bubble sometime. And when you do, don't act surprised when you see a lot of queer and trans people fighting the good fight or just trying to get through the day.
I love this. This is so well written. Han, this is so well written.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, you know, at the expense of perhaps, I don't want to come off as like dismissive. It's just that like recognize, like I fully agree. And it's something that I've been trying to work towards as a person who lives in Los Angeles and has, you know, whatever type of platform to like continually shift focus to rural communities, queer and not queer, but like more often than not queer, outside of the status quo at the very least, that these are the places that we should be looking anyways, for leadership, for organization, for activism, you know what I mean? And then the only thing that I would say, and not to tell you, Han, how to feel, but just to remember, like you said, the propaganda is working, and so that's what they're operating off of, you know? And I would empower you to be like, to say that to them, you know? It's like, yeah, man, the propaganda is working, you know? It's like, and there's also just a shout out to Samantha Allen's really wonderful book that I think came out in 2017 or 18 called... Real Queer America, which she literally the night of the 2016 election decided to like get in the car. And she had been, I think, raised in Utah. I'm trying to remember. It's been a minute since I've engaged with the material, but drove back to Utah and then like went out, like went on the road to quote red states to talk to queer people to basically do this, to like to disseminate and like and break down this idea that like, you know, there's no queer people there. And if there are, they're all martyrs or whatever. And so, you know, I think it's happening. And unfortunately, we're at the ground floor level of it. And we have to deal with bullshit for that reason. But I guess too long didn't read. I'm in your corner, Han. I hear you. I feel you. And I get it. And thanks for your well-written email, you know.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Well, I can't wait for our first live show in Little Rock, Arkansas, because that's apparently where it should be.
I mean, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Okay, let's read this one. I don't think it's a question. I think it's just somebody sharing their experience, and then we'll close it out.
Great.
Or do you want to save this, and we can talk about the mean comment?
Let's save it, and we'll talk about the mean comment.
Okay. So it's not mean. It's just it's just interesting. Cause I was gonna say, no, listen, I was
like
gonna
it?
Say we're gonna talk about everything that you guys have to say. So this is, and don't feel weird about it, because this is from Mean Guacamole, which makes sense. And it says, this would be such an insightful podcast if River was the only host or had a different co-host. Gabe is fine on his other pods, but man, oh man, does he not have anything even slightly compelling to say about being trans. His awkward interjections make it really difficult to keep listening despite being your target demo. Also, there's nice comments as well. This is just the most recent one, like the most recent comment we've gotten. And so I wanted to say that I am new here. Like one, I read it and I was like, no, I think I'm insightful.
Yeah.
And like, I think I was trying to think back and I was like, okay, is this accurate criticism? And I was like, no, I think I have a lot of really good things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I was like, well, I am new here. Like, I am figuring stuff out. This is not an experience that I've been doing Bad with Money since 2016. I've been doing JBU since 2013. Like, it's not like I'm a seasoned expert. I think sometimes people come out as trans and then you're supposed to be an expert on trans.
Yeah, no such
thing. I'm only an expert on me.
Well, I am very hesitant to listen to anybody that's an expert on being trans.
Yeah.
You know?
All I am is a little mouthy transsexual that's in Los Angeles. You don't have to like me.
That's right.
I'm polarizing.
And like, look, I'm not for everybody either.
Yeah.
I'm just not. So
yeah, one thing that I've learned over time of being a content creator on this here internet, on Elon Musk's internet, is that I'm not for everyone. And you know what? That's fine, because I have a thing on my phone. My background on my phone literally says, "You don't even like everyone, so why should everyone like you?"
I know,
and that's true.
Hard practice.
There's tons of shows I don't listen to.
Yeah.
But I've really come over my time. I know what you just said, it's hard, but like, I've really come to a time where I'm like, no, I really believe that.
Yeah.
Nobody has to like me. That's fine.
Yeah.
I always think of the Trixie Mattel quote, girl, I can't stand me either.
Sure. Yeah, dude. I mean, the next frontier is not acting that way.
Not acting what?
It's like, I can think that. I can be like, yeah, I'm not for everybody. But then I have to get out of, like, you know, behaving in a way to try to get people to like me.
I know. Yeah.
Because it's not like a one and done.
Here's the thing about being autistic, though, is that I'm so often completely confused about why someone doesn't like me that I sometimes just have to be like, well, I'll never get it.
Well, you don't know why if they don't, you know, if it's not
an
email.
Oh, they'll tell me.
That's straight up. But sure. Yeah. Should we take a moment before we wrap up to talk about the fact that someone tried to shoot Donald Trump?
Sure. You want to close out with a little bit of that?
I mean, I guess the thing I was going to say is, like, I was in Boston, like, about to get on stage and found out. Which was,
oh,
like,
my God.
One of the most insane, like, I can't believe. I didn't even really know what to say. I'm just like, I was like,
oh,
of all
God.
The things, like, to be on stage, like, because I was like, do you guys even know that this happened? And they were like, no. So I told them, and shout out to Danya, who was opening for me. And they were like, I'll leave that for you. That's a pro move. They didn't say anything about it.
Wow.
Which is a pro ass move to do that. So, like, shout out to them for that, because that was awesome.
Wow.
I don't know that I would have done that. So shout out to them for being a total pro. But like, I'm like, should I say, I feel like it's fake. I feel like this was a CIA thing or something. I don't know. I'm not saying things didn't happen, but I'm just like, this is all very convenient. I don't know. It's very strange, but I also believe that it just happened. It's like, I hold both things. I'm not like fully a tin hat, you know, but like, here's what I think is very strange.
Go on.
This is the one thing out of everything that I think is very strange, is that he's shot, he's bleeding from the ear, Secret Service rushes in as they do, and they allow his face to come back out again. That is what is very fishy to me, because the Reagan attempt and like all that, it's like, you do not see, when that stuff happens, like, you don't see that person's body again.
Well, I don't think that means it's fake. I think heads are going to start rolling at the fucking at the you know, Secret Service.
Maybe.
Like, it's a huge embarrassment for them. I mean, like, they're in big trouble, and there's, like, you know, I just see articles like, so-and-so, the head of the Secret Service, and she's getting absolutely reamed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's not good.
I mean, I could give a shit about the Secret Service and those people's jobs.
No, I'm just saying, like, if it was fake, like, it doesn't look good for them.
Right.
I think he just lifted his head, and I also think the Secret Service hasn't had to deal with like a real attempt in a long time.
Sure, yeah.
And so it was just like everyone was like bumble fumble around.
Yeah.
And I mean, I watched a video where they started pointing out that there was a guy on the roof, and it's like they timed it, and it's like a full 2 minutes before any security people react. Yeah. That's way too long.
I know. But I mean, it's also like what we live in now. Like, it was wild to me to see that video and see so few. I mean, I'm sure like surrounding people were moving and stuff, but the people that right there like barely move, and I'm just like,
I thought that was,
man,
weird.
This is where we are.
I would have thought people would run.
Sure. The violence abroad, the violence that this country, the imperialist colonialist violence that this country thrives upon, it's not just, yeah, like a symptom, it's the disease, you know?
Yeah, it's just normalized, I guess.
Is, you know, as Malcolm X has said, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, America's chickens have come home to roost. They are continuously doing that. Yeah. And I'm pretty, like, the last thing I'll say, because we don't need to talk about this for, like, 1,000 years, but the last thing that I'll say is that I'm pretty saddened and not surprised, but still, like, how many like Democratic politicians are like just jumped to be like, oh, the thoughts and prayers of blah, 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 political violence, no, 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 no. And not a single one of them has said anything about Palestinian children being like ripped to shreds on a daily basis. You know,
yeah,
like Donald Trump's ear gets pierced at Claire's or whatever. And they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. Because it's like, it's all about them and their safety and what they want. And it's just, it's so very clear to me. And if people aren't seeing that, like, I beg of you to really, really take a look.
Well, know? Donald Trump Jr. immediately made fun of Paul Pelosi, who was also like getting attacked. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
But like, with that, somebody had a hammer in his home, you know?
Right. Like, so like there, it's not, it's, you know, it's this constant thing of we go high, they go low, but like going high doesn't really serve anybody. And like, it's just like performative.
No, it only serves all of their interests, right, because ultimately right. They only care about themselves.
Exactly.
So I was in Boston over the weekend, and because I just was like shocked by this whole thing, I said something about, you know, like our money and our taxes going to like bombing children in Palestine. And I said, free Palestine. And the whole room like just like exploded with cheers, like in agreement.
Whoa.
And also a couple complained. And,
really?
And I've met in the 13 years of doing stand-up comedy, I've never had a venue be like, yeah, somebody complained. if they did, they didn't tell me before, and this time they did, and they were supportive. The club was supportive, but they were like, yeah, they, you know, they didn't like what you said, and, you know, we didn't know what to tell them. We don't really, our policy is we support our comedians, and so we support
yeah.
you. And I was like, well, what is it that they didn't like? And he was like, free Palestine. And I'm like, of all the things, but, you know, that's how deep like Zionism and colonialism and imperialism runs.
Were you talking about, did you say, by the way, Trump got shot? Like, what, did you address that on stage? Was
yeah.
it part of that conversation?
Ooh,
were you breaking the news to people?
I broke the news to a lot of people. They didn't know that it had happened.
Gag.
Because they like got there at like 6:30. I didn't see it until 6:30. So they were in that room, like talking to each other, not on their phones
wow.
or whatever, waiting for the show to start. And then the Whoa. Show started, they weren't on the phones, you know?
Wow. Okay. So you were, yeah. So you had the presence of mind to be like, I'm just going to talk about all of this as like a collective thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they have.
Well, I was talking
with.
About
Fascinating.
It.
Fascinating.
I have a joke that I still do, and it's on my Comedy Central half hour, but I still do it because I love it, about like leaving trans kids alone and like,
mm-hmm.
you know, we could put money towards anything. And so then I was like, you know, every time they tell you you can't have healthcare, just remember they're using that money to bomb Palestine, you know?
Right.
So you actually could have healthcare. They just don't want you to have it. And then I said free Palestine, and everybody was like, woo! And then
yeah.
some people, you know, two or three people were upset about it. So
right.
That's it for me. I've, like I said, I've got those shows coming up. I'll say them again now. I'll be in Columbus, Ohio for their Comedy Fest on August 14th. I'll be in Burlington in Vermont at the Vermont Comedy Club August 29th through the 31st. And then I'll be in Charleston on the 19th of September. I think that's also for a queer, for like a pride thing. And then in September on the 27th and the 28th, I'll be opening for my dear friend Mateo Lane in Cincinnati and Cleveland, respectively. So all those dates will be on my website. If they're not there as you listen to this, that's because I don't have the links yet. But they'll be up there. I'm also probably going to start a mailing list. So if you want to get on that, get on that. And yeah, thanks for the support, as always, you guys.
Join my Patreon, patreon.com/GabeSDunn. We're getting, it's always fun over there. And I have a Discord channel that's super fun. So I also do a show called Just Between Us. I do a show called Bad With Money. But the Patreon is the new fun place to hang out. If you're not on my Instagram, which is GabeSDunn. But the Patreon's where I'm more honest.
My Instagram is at RivButcher.
Love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Bye. This podcast is edited and produced by Logan Castrodoli. Music by Atlas Bishop. Art by Maya Scarpa. Email us at thenewguyspodcast@gmail.com. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.